prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I think the aliens took over our our music, our intro music.
Are they illegal aliens or just run-of-the-mill UFO aliens?
They weren't normal. I don't care what they were, but they weren't of this world anyway. So anyway, hey, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and thank you for joining us this afternoon. You're listening to Financial Survival, and I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. For Monday, January 4th, 2015, and we finally got some action. What a way to start the year for January 4th, 2016. And, you know, at least I caught it.
Uh-huh.
But no one else did, so I'm going to move on.
I caught it, but I was too much of a gentleman to say anything.
I will go on. I'm not going to respond to that. But we finally had some action in the markets today here in the U.S. and, of course, all around the world, starting with China last night as they took a big 7% dive. And, of course, it followed all the way to our markets. And we were down big earlier. It came back a little bit. So let's just get started right away. Gold today, we're currently up $1,380 off its high, though. But we're currently at 1,075, which is about 10 bucks off the high. So we were up big first thing this morning. We really saw the same thing with silver. We're only up a penny right now at 1,394, but we did have a high of 1,428. A lot of pressure on the white metals, the platinum and palladium. Platinum was down 9 at 886. And we have palladium down 23 at 542, down over 4%. So I think that's why silver struggled a little bit today. USDX today was stronger, 0.17 at 98.85. Crude oil was just down a little bit, 0.25 at 36.79. We'll be talking about that a little bit, and the Saudis and Iran. Things are certainly heating up there. The paper markets today, let's see if we have some final numbers. Yeah, I figured they'd bring it back to about 250. Early morning trade, it was down about 450, but they did bring it back 276, probably this last half hour of trade, as I've been following it, at 17,148. It did dip below 17,000 for a little bit earlier on in the day. The NASDAQ was down a little over 2%, down 104 at 49.03. The S&P was down 31 at 2012. And again, as I had mentioned, they are all off the lows of the day. They were able to bring them back. And of course, we have the problems in the, I guess Saudi Arabia executed what they said were terrorists over the weekend, including an Iranian cleric. And of course, that upset Iran and the other Arab nations. And Saudi Arabia had cut the diplomatic ties with Iran after its embassy in Iran was attacked. So a lot of rising tensions there in the Middle East with those two. And as I mentioned, the China markets dropped nearly 7% on Monday. They did hit the daily limit, and they halted trading. China came out with their manufacturing purchasing index, and that came in at 48.2 in December from 48.6 in November for the 10th month in a row with a reading below 50. And, of course, any number below 50, like ours, suggests a contraction in the sector. And also they have that limit where if you had they had some trading limits that were applied back in July and September that are due to come off in the for the traders. And so there was a lot of thought that, you know, you have these traders sitting in the background waiting for these sanctions to be lifted so they can begin trading once again. They weren't able to do any sell trades. So that is about ready to come into play with China's markets. So Puerto Rico, Al.
What about Puerto Rico?
They missed a debt.
My heart's devotion. Let it sink into the ocean. That's from West Side Story.
They missed a debt payment to its creditors.
Yep.
And I'm sure that was sort of expected coming from Puerto Rico.
It's going to come from a lot of people before this is done. Greece misses all of its debt payments. That's what the Greek drama is all about. Cyprus couldn't make its payments.
Mm-hmm.
Iceland couldn't make its payments. Mm-hmm. This is worse. We're going to see an avalanche of this stuff before it's all over. It isn't going to happen necessarily overnight or anything like that, but it is the one major story, in my opinion, for the whole world. The debt can't be paid. There's too much debt, and I don't mean a little bit too much debt. I mean there are multiple times we're going to be lucky on a global basis to pay 20% of the existing debt. And it means, if I'm right in that estimate, it means that 80% of the people holding debt instruments around the world are going to lose their assets, right? Or at least 80% of them on average. Some of them will do okay. You know, some of them are going to lose everything, but the debt is too big, and that's the deal.
And that's just not these, you know, when we think of creditors, we think of, you know, other countries that are holding all these, you know. No, it's people that are holding funds in their 401s, they're holding it in their retirement plans. It will affect you.
Yep.
It will affect them. It's just
pension
not,
plans, retirement
pension plans,
plans.
Retirement plans.
Just employment promises. Government employees are often overpaid compared to what they can make in the private sector. How long do you suppose that's going to be able to continue? Government has promised, oh, we're going to pay you $200,000 or $100,000 or whatever it is. Right? I guarantee those promises can't all be kept. Now, I don't mean that they're going to disappear this week, this month, maybe this year. I don't know. But there's going to be a moment when there's going to have to be a dramatic change in governments around the world. Are going to have to admit they can't pay their debts, can't keep their promises. That means governments will grow smaller. Or, in the alternative, if they refuse to grow smaller because they don't have as much money, as they don't have as much currency and or credit to spend, well, maybe they'll become more draconian. And they'll try to impose their will by force. But strange things are happening. And the point in all of this is, at least insofar as wealth can protect you from some of these problems, it's a good idea to store your wealth in a form that does not, that's not just an IOU. A piece of paper is an IOU, a bond, a stock, an IOU. Right?
And just because it doesn't show an IOU in your quarterly statement doesn't mean you won't be affected, because you certainly will be. And what's interesting now is the stock market today, the first trading day of the year, is the worst first day of the year decline since 1932, I believe it was. And there's an old market adage that says, as goes the first trading week of the year, so goes the entire year. So we'll have to see if how the rest of this week plays out, and to give us any indication of how the rest of 2016 is going to be played out. But certainly if it does play out like we expect it to, I believe it will be very bullish for precious metals. So again, these are great buying opportunities to be picking up some gold and silver while you still can. And I'm not a, you know, I never talk about you can't get product today, you can't get product today. But I do believe the markets are very thin, both gold and silver are very thin, and it wouldn't take much of an event to take precious metals off the table in a very quick manner. So,
well, when they go off the table, they go off the table at the current price. There's always
well, you have a market.
Sale.
Well,
there's always
well,
gold
my point.
Table, always silver, but it might be at multiples of what you're paying right now. You can get all the gold you want at $5,000 an ounce, I guarantee you.
Oh, it depends on what's happening. No, I wouldn't guarantee that either. Because if people, because what happens when you have large increases in any item, people will hold thinking that it's going to go even higher. So they have a tendency to hold on to things before
yeah,
it actually corrects. Until it actually corrects. Plus, if there is some sort of a change in currency and things are being revalued, no, people aren't going to sell their gold. You know, unless there is other
prices.
Opportunities. If there are other opportunities that they can do something with, yes, then they'll sell it. And I would add,
sometimes,
and I would tell people to sell it.
Some people need to sell gold just to pay the rent. Right? Sometimes under certain, that's the idea behind it, is a savings, a form of savings that you can use in a worst case scenario. If everything else blows up, there's gold.
Huh?
If I got to pay the rent, got to pay the utility, got to pay the internet connection, put gas in the car, whatever. See an opportunity to buy a house. Gold. I mean, it's always there. That's what it is.
Those are just, that's a smaller idea of why you hold gold and silver. It's a beautiful savings. It's a beautiful way to save other than paper. Absolutely. And true. I mean, I have clients every day who will sell a little bit of gold. But that little bit of gold that's sold in order to pay the gas or the heating or whatever won't be enough to supply a market of buyers, is my point.
Well, the market of buyers will be the people who have. Well, you know, the whole thing gets strange. In a worst case scenario, what when we talk about taking gold off the table and it's not there for what? It's maybe not there for paper dollars, right? It might still be there, though. If somebody's selling a house across the street, you might be able to get it for 10, 20 ounces of gold. Don't give them any cash. Will you take gold? Yeah.
Well, you wouldn't do that unless the market values have tanked.
Well, you have to.
You wouldn't.
No. The market value on the house may have tanked. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Then there comes a time in which you. But I don't want to argue about that. Then there would come a time in which you would sell your metal, your gold or your silver, to take advantage of the other investments that come available. But at rock bottom prices. So yeah, we will get to a point where we sell our gold, but we don't know where that point's going to be, and we're just not going to sell it to get if. Gold reaches 5,000, depending on what's happening.
No, but
at
if
that
it may reach 5,000 today, my point is, if somebody said, I will buy all the gold you can give me for $5,000 an ounce, I guarantee you, he's going to find a lot of offers. He's going to people say, I got gold. Yeah, I'll sell you my gold.
Well, you'd be surprised, Al.
I don't mean that they'd sell everything, but I mean there'd be a lot of people that would jump on that opportunity.
Depends on what's happening at that current moment in time. And I've been doing this for 21 years, and people don't, I mean, the mentality of holding gold, they're going to hold it until the time is right to sell it, not just because the price is a particular level. Heck, when silver got to $50, I told some of my big silver buyers to sell a third of it. They wanted to hang on to it, and they would have been far better off by selling a third of it and buying gold. Considering what we see now as silver at, you know, hovering at $14. And even though we had a big drop in gold, they would have fared much, much better if they had sold a third of their silver holdings and purchased gold when silver was 50. But you couldn't pry it out of their hands.
No, I understand. Some people.
It just depends. But we were at a point in time where, again, the mentality, what was going on in the stock market, we were looking at, you know, possibly a revaluation of our currency, maybe a replacement of a new currency, you know, the dollar being replaced. I mean, there were a lot of things going on that you wouldn't want to sell your gold or silver, because if that, we weren't at that point yet to some sort of devaluation of our currency. So, a lot of this goes on. We're going to have to wait till we get there, you know, because we're here at a point in time that's never been, that it's all new.
Well, I get that, but I'm just saying, hypothetically, if, you know, there's plenty of gold around, depending on the price. There's no gold. Nobody is selling gold for $1 an ounce. All right? Nobody is selling gold for $1 an ounce. I don't care if you're dying. You're not selling your gold for $1 an ounce. You might consider selling it for $10,000 an ounce, though.
What's new? What's next, Al?
U.S. Mint silver coin sales hit record in 2015. Gold sales were up 53%. This is according to Reuters. U.S. Mint sold a record amount of American Eagle silver bullion coins and saw sales of its gold coins rise by 53% this year, last year, actually, as weak metal prices unleashed a fresh wave of buying by investors and collectors. Sales of American Eagle gold coins hit 801,500 ounces, while 47 million ounces of their silver counterparts were bought. So it's been a big year for people taking advantage of low prices. Last year was. We can assume that something like that is going to continue, that we can assume that record sales of gold and silver coins will continue, unless and until prices start to rise dramatically. People are waiting on the moment when prices begin to rise. Virtually everybody who set this record for silver coins and gold sales this last year, they all believe prices are going up. Doesn't mean that it's God's will, but it's they're looking at it, so this has got to go up. It's evidence that we have seen something like a bottom in the prices of gold and silver. And it's evidence, it's not absolute proof, but it's evidence that we can expect gold and silver to turn around in the foreseeable future and rise considerably, significantly, perhaps dramatically. So, big year, last year, big year for gold and silver at the U.S. Mint.
And nearly 70% of investors, this is according to Open Portfolio, it's an app that allows people to track their investment performance and then compare it. Nearly 70% of investors lost money in 2015.
Now, when you say investors in what?
Lost money in investments, paper investments. Their portfolios. Okay. U.S. markets had their worst year since the financial crisis. So, you know, as you hear Wall Street and Washington talk about how great everything is, when you have 70% of investors that lost money, I guess things really aren't all.
Well, it's not like 99% lost money, Melody. You got to look at the bright side. 30% actually came out ahead. That's what I want to do. I want to get involved in an investment where I have a chance in three of making some
money. But the U.S. markets had their worst year since the financial crisis. And the S&P 500, it was on track to end 2015 just about where it started. I believe the Dow Jones was down over 2% for the year. People who did make money did one of two things. And every investor advisor will tell you not to do. They did hold cash, and they took on a lot of risk. I don't think you want to take on a lot of risk when you have a lot of volatility in the markets. So I wouldn't want to touch it. I want to be safe. And, of course, that safe haven is, of course, gold. But
Well, we can talk more about that volatility in a moment. We're going to take a break for some commercials, and Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today, or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Melody mentioned volatility right there in the closing moments of the first segment of the program. Here's an article from CNBC that deals with volatility and reports by a man named Mohammed El Arian. He is the chief economic advisor of an outfit called Allen Allianz, and he gets a lot of TV time. Right? You see him speaking on a regular basis. He said volatility spiked to start 2016, and investors should expect market swings often this year. Valerian believes traders will have to learn how to play sharp market moves, both upward and downward. He stressed that they will need a stomach for volatility. Well, all kinds of implications here. He's saying that the market, he's implying that it won't be easy to see a general trend in the market. Is the market going up? Is it going down? I don't know. We're going to have a spike today and it goes suddenly down by 400 points. We'll have a spike tomorrow where it goes up by 200 points. The day after that, we may have another spike. And it may be next week. And I'm not arguing that we're going to see a spike every day. But he's saying we're going to see a lot of spikes, both up and down, in 2016. That means there's not likely to be an easily discernible trend. It means the charts are not likely to work reliably for people. And when he says everyone's going to have to learn how to play these sharp market moves, I think that's bunk. Virtually no one can learn how to play sharp and repeated market moves. The reason is that it's nearly impossible to time the beginning of each sharp market move up, each sharp market move downward. We're not talking about a market move that lasts for 6 weeks or 3 months. We're talking about market moves where the stock market, for example, will move several hundred points in a day, up or down, for reasons that are not easily understood or anticipated. It just does, right? There'll be volatility, and he's saying the people who need to get into this, they need to learn how to play these sharp market moves. I'm saying you can't learn how to play sharp market moves because you just can't anticipate them. You don't know when they're going to begin, and even though if they go up 200 points and you're thinking they're going to go up 300 points, all of a sudden they can turn around, and next thing you know, you have taken a significant loss. I don't think anyone can play sharp market moves except some people will succeed, but it'll have more to do with dumb luck than skill. Some people will guess right, and they'll make money, but most people will guess wrong. They can't time these things. And when Arian stresses that people will need a stomach for volatility, as it quotes, stomach for volatility, he means you're going to suffer some very interesting losses. This stuff, you're going to be rich one day and poor the next, at least on paper. And you're going to need a stomach, according to him, to deal with this thing. And what I'm saying, people don't have that stomach. It may be that you're going to need one. I may need wings to fly around like Peter Pan, but I don't have those wings, and I'm not likely to get them. And people are not automatically going to grow a stomach for volatility. For those who want to engage in the market, if L. Arian is correct, this will be a year that seemingly favors smart speculators, that is to say gamblers, more than investors. You can bet that the speculators slash gamblers will lose money on many of their bets, many of their alleged investments. Speculators will make great profits, but they'll also suffer great losses. In the midst of this instability, the object will probably turn out to be preserving capital. In the midst of volatility, recognizing that you probably don't have enough intelligence and blessing where you can accurately predict, okay, it's going up tomorrow, it's going down on Friday, I know, we're going to invest accordingly. We've got these upward and downward spikes. You don't have sense enough to do that. I certainly don't. A couple of you might, but I don't. And I don't think most of you do either, which means the object this year is more than anything maybe just preserving capital, right? Rather than getting yourself caught up in, oh boy, I'm going to bet on, you know, it's like going to Las Vegas. You're betting on a sharp upturn today. What if you don't get it? What if it doesn't happen till Friday? What if you bet that it's going down on Friday and it goes up? And these are not small upturns, small downturns, spikes is what L. Arian is talking about. one of the dangers in his prediction is that if there is going to be significant volatility in 2016, and if that volatility is going to be characterized by sharp market moves, that is to say spikes upward and spikes downward, one of the dangers is that one of these spikes is going to be too sharp. That sharp strike, it goes up, oh my God, it went up 200 points. Oh my gosh, it went down 300 points. What if it all of a sudden we get one of these sharp spikes and it goes down 1,000 points? If we're going to be in the midst of that kind of volatility, what are the possibilities? What's the probability that we're going to see a panic when all of a sudden the market just moves? We see a sharp spike downward and people just kind of hit the gag reflex, say, enough, enough, enough. I can't play this game anymore. I don't have the stomach for it. And they bail out of the market. The market really crashes. One of the other points about this volatility, if there is going to be volatility, is there won't be obvious market trends, right? People sit back and say, a trend is your friend. You go into a period of volatility, you ain't got no friends. You're going to have to, if you invest, you're going to have to watch your investments like an eagle. You're going to have to keep that eagle eye on them because, oh my gosh, they might go up dramatically today, which is great, or they might go down dramatically. which is terrible. I mean, the volatility becomes scary all by itself if it's both up and down. And we can imagine that if there is persistent volatility, it's not likely that that volatility in the stock and bond markets will be to support an increase in prices, an increase in profits. That volatility is going to scare people until they bail. And when they do, then we will see this volatility may be nothing more than an overture for a significant decline in the markets. We may sit here and hem and haw and go up and go down, and I don't know. We watch and see what's going to happen, but we can only do that. We can only roll it. You know, as El Arian implies, you got to have a stomach for this game. It requires great nerve. And if you have it, plus smarts, plus luck, you may do okay. But most people will run out of nerve. They will run out of stomach, and they'll say, that's enough. I'm going to take my money out of here, and I don't care if I put it under my mattress. Invest it in gold. Do something with it where I can sit back and be confident that I'm at least preserving my wealth. And as people come to that opinion, we can expect the markets to decline. And, yeah, whatever. You know, El Arian is not a prophet. He's just a smart guy, an intelligent man, and the rest of that sort of thing. Maybe he's right. Maybe we're going to see that volatility. Maybe we're not going to see an unusual amount of volatility in 2016. But if we do, that volatility almost certainly points to a decline in the markets. Real volatility is going to challenge, it doesn't just challenge your intelligence, it challenges your nerve. And not to have enough nerve to play that game, they'll cut out of the markets will fall. Do you agree, disagree, Melody?
Well, yeah, I mean, of course there's going to be volatility this year. I mean, the volatility started last year when we had the first big downturn beginning in August, you know, when we did have the Dow below 17, when you did have the, you know, China stock markets crash, and, you know, all of a sudden, you know, everything was all about China, and as China goes, the world follows. It used to be as the U.S., you know, whatever happened to the yes, the world will follow. I guess that's changed. I guess now, even though China is the second largest economy, you know, what happens there affects all markets. So, yeah, volatility is here. Volatility is here to stay because there's no true fundamentals under the stock market in order to take any of that volatility away. I mean, if you had a few people who made money on the stock market last year because they took on a lot of risk. A lot of that risk, whenever you have high risk, you're going to have volatility. And you know, people are grasping to that, towards that risk. They're leaning towards that risk. They're willing to take that risk because they're not getting money anywhere else. You know, when they can't get any money on their savings, they can't get any money here or there, so they take on more risk. And with
and why
that
can't
risk,
they get money out of their savings?
With that risk brings
volatility.
Why can't
volatility. They get money out of their savings? Because the Federal Reserve has set interest rates so low, so you can't make money.
Can't make money.
On savings. That's why. It's because the Federal Reserve. And because the Federal Reserve sets interest rates near zero, people who have money to invest have to put it into riskier investments than savings accounts, than traditional savings accounts. They've got to look elsewhere. And trying to make a decent return, they're forced to take greater risk. And that inevitably means sooner or later, the risks, some of these people are going to take bigger risks. You increase the probability that you're going to lose some of it.
And also what we're experiencing with this volatility is because we truly are a global economy anymore. You know, yeah, we'll focus on what's happening here. Our manufacturing index came out. The U.S. it was lower. But truly, it is a world economy anymore. These stock markets are all tied together. When you look at these countries, there isn't one country that's doing well. Yeah. I mean, name me one country.
At least, if not a global
name
recession.
One country that none. I mean, Germany. I didn't
Iceland.
Mention that. Well,
Iceland.
Yeah, well, that's like, you know, the city of state, you know. Anyway, Germany, it was down almost over 4.25%. That's a huge drop. You had Japan down 3%. London was down almost 2.5%. Hong Kong was down 2.75%. And they were all off the lows also. So you have this world economy anymore. So you can't bet on anyone that is stable. So it is high risk. Any of these markets are high risk.
That's true.
And if you're carrying paper, you need to offset that high risk paper with something that's more stable, that doesn't carry the volatility. And of course, you know, I'm going to say gold. So folks, get that paper insured.
I was surprised when you said that, Melody. I didn't expect you to say that, but sure enough, there it was.
What's next, Al?
There's another point about volatility. If the price goes up dramatically today, it spikes up dramatically today, let's start with this example. Suppose the price spikes downward dramatically today, which it's done. All right? Let's guess and speculate that the price goes up dramatically tomorrow. Fell a max, sells for somewhere in the neighborhood of 400 points during the day today. Let's maybe it goes up 300 points tomorrow. Why is that? Why do we have that volatility? And you, at the first point, you can sit back and say it's because the markets can't make up their minds. All right? They can't tell for sure what the is the trend up or is the trend down. Is the glass half empty or half full? They can't make up their minds. And that's it. But maybe that's not what volatility is about. Maybe volatility is a reflection of markets that are moving in one direction. The real trend, for the sake of this example, is downward. And there are people in positions of power that every time the market goes downward, the free market kind of pushes things downward. They're in positions of power, and they push it back upward. Meaning that the spikes downward in this hypothesis are natural, and they reflect what might be deemed fundamentals in the market. People realize like this thing's overpriced. But the counter spikes upward that follow the next day or the day after, those are the results of government manipulation, where it said, we're not going to let this market fall. So now you can look at this volatility from that perspective, where it's not just a natural random kind of volatility, but instead the result of two opposing forces. We've got one force, which we might call fundamentals, that's pushing the market down. We've got another force, which is government and the plunge protection team, which is pushing that market back up. And therefore, we see these spikes up, down, back and forth, as evidence of a kind of war that's going on. And then, if that were true, we'd sit back and say, well, which one of these forces do you suppose is most likely to prevail? There's a war going on, maybe, under this hypothesis. And the war causes some days the market goes down dramatically, and the next day or two it goes up dramatically. Which side can play this game long enough to prevail? And the answer is not necessarily known to anyone, but it looks to me like the government is going to run out of corn cobs before this is all over. It's like fighting gravity. All right? You can turn up, make the rotor on your helicopter rotate more rapidly and therefore lift us up. But there's still gravity pulling that helicopter down, and sooner or later the helicopter runs out of diesel fuel or whatever it is it runs on, jet fuel, and it goes, and it falls down and go boom. We're going to take a break for some more commercials. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Folks, I'm Alfred Adisk. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. The program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. And what's next, Melody?
We have a small little package for our listeners today. We have my favorite AU $5 Liberty gold piece, an AU $5 Liberty gold piece. It's almost a quarter ounce of gold, along with 20 of the 2016 Silver Eagles. 2016 Silver Eagles. A tube of those, which includes 20 ounces. This includes all your shipping costs for a total of $700. $700, you'll receive an AU, $5 Liberty gold piece, and 20 one-ounce silver eagles, and those are the 2016 for the date on the coin. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter.
Got a headline, a couple of headlines here that were actually around the middle of December, and that's kind of surprising to me because I didn't see these headlines then. I didn't actually pick up on these until maybe the last week or so. And when I went looking for them, I caught them on YouTube, and I tried to search for them on the mainstream media, and it turns out mainstream media didn't carry these particularly, but they appear to be valid headlines. And on December 17th, the headline was, Turkey warns Russia, we can occupy you in 7 days. I saw that one, and I thought, these Turks are losing their marbles, for God's sake. You want to start a war with Russia? Are you crazy? But Turkey warns Russia, we can occupy you in 7 days. And that's on December 17th. And on December 18th, Putin replies, Putin threatens, here's the headline, Putin threatens Turkish jets, try it. What he's saying is that they've installed, I don't know if it's the S-400 surface-to-air missiles in Turkey, the Russian surface-to-air missiles that go after jet planes, fighter planes, and so on. And he's telling the Turkish jets, you go ahead and cross into Syria and see what happens. You're not going home with your airplane, all right? Your airplane's coming down, and maybe you're coming down with it in a parachute, or maybe you're just coming down with it. But the point of these headlines, Turkey and Russia threatening each other, is that it's just more evidence of what is obvious, and that is the growing tensions in the Middle East are substantial. They are not likely to be reined in anytime soon. Everyone over there appears to be a little bit crazy, right? This is not, Syria is not a place where diplomats are going to prevail. This is a place for people who send rockets and bombs and chop people's heads off. And all of which just says the Middle East, you know, it's not news, but it is increasingly unstable. And that being the case, we can wonder what's going to happen to oil. Now, you can also sit back and look at it and say, look, if Turkey's warning Russia and Russia's warning Turkey, right? You know, people buy gold, for example, during periods of crisis. Does this look like a crisis that might be worth your while to consider when you start thinking, should I buy gold? Should I buy silver? I don't know. It looks to me like the Middle East is just going to become, it's like a town in the Wild West. It's like one of those spaghetti westerns. I mean, it's just crazy over there. And in the midst of that madness, we're likely to see something happen. Not necessarily, but we are likely, the probabilities increase. Something's going to happen where all of a sudden the economies of the world are going to be affected. And some people are going to say, you know, I think I need some gold. I think I want to protect against that crisis. Got another article here from CNBC. And the headline is, oil may fall to $18 amid Gulf tensions. Right? This is just one man's opinion. Oil prices could break below $20 this year as tensions rise between Iran and Saudi Arabia, two of the world's largest oil players. Again, this is from founding partner John Kilduff from Again Capital. I think you're going to get as low as $18 and maybe as high as $48. He's talking about the price of crude oil.
That's a little bit of a big spread.
Well, it's consistent a little bit with what El Arian was saying, that we're going to come up, we're going to see some spikes up and spikes down. All right? It's a little bit, this is volatility. You know, $30 spread when it's only running 30, I mean, it's $35 a barrel right now, and it might go to half of that, and it might also increase by 50%. I mean, and he says it's going to get really ugly. And the Iranians doubled down again, if that's even possible, by saying they could put 500,000 more barrels of oil on the market within weeks after sanctions get lifted. Kilduff was referring to the anticipated lifting of sanctions related to Iran's nuclear program, which have locked the country out of international markets. The world is currently oversupplied by 500,000 to 2 million barrels per day of oil. The glut could reach 3 million if Iran lives up to its vow to ratchet up exports by a million barrels per day as soon as possible. The chances of Iran cooperating with top oil exporter and fellow OPEC member Saudi Arabia diminished following a diplomatic crisis that started with the Saudi execution of a Shiite cleric, Nimr al-Nimr. It's kind of an interesting name. Be as if my name was Alfred Alfred. Any case, the Saudis executed the Shiite cleric. The Iranians are threatening divine revenge against the Saudis. Saudis then cut diplomatic ties with Iran, Bahrain, and Sudan, also severed ties with Iran. Saudi Arabia is the dominant Sunni Muslim power in the Middle East, while Iran is led by Shiites. There is this basis for religious holy war in the Middle East. Sunnis versus Shiites. That's not news, but it's amping up. What? It's another one of these stories that say the Middle East is going insane. It's like they've stopped putting fluoride in the drinking water and they're adding LSD and speed. The whole world, the whole Middle East is going, it's increasingly resembling a powder keg. Now, that's not, it's always resembled a powder keg, I know. But this is just getting crazy. We got the Russians threatening the Turks threatening the Russians. We've got the Sunnis fighting with the Shiites openly and the rest of it. The whole thing, everybody wants to kill somebody over there. And they're not too particular about who. Just give me somebody I can strangle. Huh? That seems to be the motto in the Middle East. OPEC, internationally, the traded Brent crude oil rose about 2% to $38 a barrel on Monday. OPEC has declined to impose production caps to prop up crude prices, accelerating a route that has cut the cost of oil by two-thirds from its high in 2014. U.S. Energy Information and Information Administration sees U.S. and other non-OPEC production declining by non-OPEC, declining by hundreds of thousands of barrels per day in the third quarter of 2016. They don't see that happening for another 6 months, but they see it coming. I don't know. Will non-OPEC oil production really decline this year? If the Middle East explodes, it may be the Middle East is going to explode. Next thing you know, people are going to make fortunes, huge amounts of money on shale production here in the United States. All of a sudden, it may be that we are, I don't know. I mean, if the Iranians and the Saudis are threatening to nuke each other, they haven't said that openly, but that's what it comes down to. At least bomb each other. Take both of those nations out of the oil production equation. What's going to happen to the price of shale oil here in the United States? It might be that it starts making money again. The whole thing has gone mad, and I don't think there's anyone who can accurately predict what's going to happen. So we'll watch and see, but the main point is that the last two stories. One, we've got a couple of headlines dealing with Turkey and Russia, and then this headline dealing with the price of oil in general and over mid-Gulf tensions. I've got two stories that are telling us, look, the Middle East is getting ready to blow up. Huh? If you want another one or somebody who's ready to blow up, here's something you may have heard this already. But
we have a call. We have Ivan on the phone now.
All right, Ivan. What up, Ivan?
Hello. Happy New Year to both of you.
Happy New Year.
Lots of health and prosperity and all the goodies.
That's also.
I have a comment about Saudi and also about Turkey. As we know, Saudi is a hip joined with Israel, so they are doing the bidding for that and supporting ISIS, which is part of their terrorist group created by Israel and Saudi, created by Israel and funded by Saudi. And as far as the oil, well, we have other players like Russia and some of the other, you know, like you were saying, U.S. has some production, but I think the whole economy, world economy is, you know, slowing down. So there won't be as much need of oil as we expected or, you know, as we would have predicted. So oil might drop to some, you know, lower point, but I don't think it'll go to, you know, it could be, you know, down to 15 or whatever, you know, you mentioned. But the bigger picture is, Saudi and Iran about this Nimr execution, and they broke their diplomatic relations. And usually, you know, in past 50 years, if you have the diplomatic relations broken, you have war. So, but it might not happen now. But that was usually the first cause of belly, as far as in the past what it took place. And I foresee that there might be a trend in the direction of war, this year, as far as Middle East, and I think that's where it'll explode, with Turkey being the main problem. Turkey was always a thorn in Europe and Russia for many hundreds of years, and so I can foresee that Turkey could ignite. Since they are kind of between Middle East and Europe, kind of a bridge.
But what's going to happen if Turkey, let's just suppose for the sake of argument that Turkey and Russia did stumble into some sort of a war. Who is going to back Turkey and to what extent will they back them?
Well, they expect U.S. to jump in. That is their train of thought, and I'm sure there are backroom discussions about it going on now. I wouldn't doubt it between Obama and Erdogan or someone on a lower key. I don't know, but I think we would see. We could see a major crisis erupt. Just from. The other thing, which was Turkey, was buying ISIS oil. Mentioned and it was forgotten now. Nobody says anything about it. But Russia said that we can prove that that the tankers are going from ISIS to Turkey for resale. So Russia, and in fact, for a while, did they bomb, even the U.S. bomb, they gave the drivers, boarding that, get out of the trucks, we'll bomb you.
Yeah, they warned them.
They
warned them, get out of the truck, we're going to bomb it in a couple minutes,
Yeah, but I think it was only a one-time deal. I don't think anything happening now.
Because they got caught. I mean, why it's a one-time deal. This is it's a political mess for them, so we better not do that again.
Well, I thought, and maybe that they, but I don't
know. You've got about 20 seconds, Yvonne. Got about 20 seconds to wrap up.
I just saw that Turkey is stirring the pot, and they did it, during Ottoman Empire and First World War and Second World War, they were always the cause. So I wouldn't trust them. They are part of Israeli connection, and so they do the bidding. They help ISIS, and Turkey is a bad actor. That's why,
The whole thing is unstable, and we can wonder who is really pulling Turkey's chains and telling them what to do, and that's a question we're going to have to wait for another day because we're out of time, Yvonne. Got to thank you for your phone call, and thank you, folks, for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Frank, the producer, and Yvonne. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.